And I always think of Davies when I do that. Welcome to AVW Radio Live. I am your host, Chris, as I always am, or most of the time anyway. And I haven't muted my YouTube channel. I
You've
have
done
now.
that in a row so many times.
You know what? It's so annoying setting all these bloody things up. You forget. There's always something you forget. Anyway, I haven't forgotten my guests. I've got Tom and I've got John. Afternoon to you both.
Afternoon.
Hello.
Beardless Tom now.
Shave. Freshly shaven like a baby's bum. Good afternoon to you both, and afternoon to our chat box. As usual, thank you all ever so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Right, so where are we? What are we doing? Football, games, points, goals, and stuff. Let's talk about it. A 2-2 draw at the Oilyhead. John, let's start with you. You're kind of mixed on your thoughts on today, aren't you? Do indulge us.
I thought we were fairly poor. I thought that for as much as City pressed us, they haven't been great this season, and they weren't particularly amazing in that game either. I don't know how we got two goals because it was basically our only two attacks really in the game. Both good goals, don't get me wrong. But it was I don't know. It was just a weird, kind of weird atmosphere, and sort of it seemed like we were happy to settle for a point. Maybe you'd say a point away at City is a good result, but in the context of the season where it is now, the fact that Spurs had lost points earlier today, you didn't need the motivation anyway. That was enough already to try and at least catch them and finish above them. The fact they lost, I thought, might push the team on a bit more. I just disappointed you really. I know you maybe we shouldn't be, but I don't think City have been amazing this season, and especially after the way they played. They had a midweek game, and all right, I know they didn't put a lot of effort in. Quite clearly, that the ease with which Madrid got rid of them, and I know Madrid are fair enough. Madrid are a better team, but they had a midweek game. We didn't. We had the had longer to rest, and I just thought they were. I suppose it's a bit stupid to expect anything after the season we've had, but I thought they were there for the taking.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. I take your point. And Tom, from the other sort of standpoint, you're, I think, probably closer to where I am with it. You're satisfied, not blown away. We're not going to have a street party, but fairly satisfied with a point and which near enough guarantees top four finish at least.
Yeah, I mean, I'm more satisfied because I'm looking at it in the large concept of how I've been playing in recent weeks. We haven't been that great. I mean, we haven't lost in quite a while, but we only beat Norwich 1-0. We drew against Sunderland. So then going against a Champions League side in Man City, I thought getting a 2-2 draw there was good, especially considering that we've gone behind and it showed quite good mental strength to come back after we went behind twice. I know it's disappointing we didn't get the win, so that means that obviously Spurs have to lose and we have to win to get the points. But still, I'm reasonably satisfied with it, considering looking at the bigger picture of how we've been playing and yeah, I can't complain too much. There's only a couple of things I can fault defensively wise, where in terms of Gabriel, which I'm sure we'll come on to, and then a change which a couple of us dispute on. But no, I thought that for a 2-2 win away at, a 2-2 draw, sorry, away at City is a good result.
Biggest disappointment, of course, is we can't have 1-1 at Newcastle, which would have been fun.
Yes, that was
well, I mean, we still can technically, but it would have been more fun if there had been something riding on that. But never mind. Okay, well, let's kind of drill into it a little bit then, John. What did you think of the team? Obviously, no Mesut Ozil, which kind of raised a few eyebrows straight away. I don't think any of us had any wind of an injury. So, talk is he tweaked a hip muscle in training yesterday. Boss doesn't think it's going to be too serious. What was your sort of thoughts on the lineup, given that he was out and that we pretty much stuck with what we could have today?
As for the Ozil thing, I mean, we didn't really know anything about it. That was a bit of a surprise. So I'll go with what they're saying, that he was injured. So, there's nothing you can do about that. I didn't get, despite his contribution in the game, I don't understand why he started Giroud. I know it sounds stupid because he scored a goal when he set and he got an assist for the second, but it didn't make any sense to me. Why he couldn't have gone with Welbeck up top, and put. Ramsey is one of the wide men, or Joel Campbell is one of the wide men, and put Coquelin in the middle. It's we're going up against a better opposition, so to be a bit more solid in the middle makes sense to me. I Yeah, that was the only real big thing. I thought other than that, you couldn't really change the team too much. Was Per's injured, isn't he? Yeah,
Yeah,
so
after the season, yeah.
yeah, I mean it was only the Giroud thing. I mean, which I was proved wrong about. I said in the chat, I literally just as he scored the goal, like I was about to say, why is he starting Giroud? But I didn't get it. I just thought Welbeck could have pulled him about a bit more.
Fair enough. We'll touch on some individual performances in a minute. Tom, what was your kind of thoughts on the way we set up? I mean, I don't know what it is. It seems to me like Arsene Wenger's decided that the Ramsey on the right thing, he's decided that he's had enough of that. Because I think we were all kind of saying when Ramsey got back to fitness, that's where he'd end up being. But he hasn't gone back there. And I'm guessing sort of that was the reason why he played Welbeck wide today, to give us that work rate going backwards.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I didn't when you lose Ozil, I think that what we played up the top was correct in my opinion. I think Welbeck's been good on the left hand side and he's been great up front. He brings you goals from that side, and Iwobi has shown he has the quality to play, even though I didn't think he had the best of games today. Playing Giroud turned out to be really good. He created one and scored the first one, and I didn't have too much fault with his performance, except some of his hold up play wasn't as good as it usually is. He lost the ball a couple of times, but no, I think the way we set up was okay, considering what we had, other than the fact I probably would have played Coquelin over Ramsey in midfield. I mean, we bought Elneny, and we've got this partnership of Elneny and Coquelin in the middle forming, and it's like these games like this where we need to be more solid, more physical, more defensively sound, where I thought we would be bringing in the likes of Coquelin and Elneny playing together rather than a more creative centre midfielder like Ramsey or Santi Cazorla in there. So I was surprised by Ramsey playing, but I didn't think he was too bad. He lost the ball a couple of times as well. I think everybody was there's still a bit of end of season jadedness that we really need to sort of kick out the system, and there's a couple of passes going awry, but ultimately we did well. And as you say, with the setup, I think playing Welbeck on the wing and Sanchez on the right still is working, and we saw that today.
Absolutely. Well, in a sort of a tribute and a nod to Danny, I'll just give you a couple of stats. So, a lot less possession today, 61% to City, 39 to Arsenal, 7 corners to 2 in favour of City, 8 shots wide, 2 for Arsenal, 2 shots on target for City, and none for us, other than the goals, of course. And fouls, 16 in favour of City, 10 in favour of us, 3 offsides apiece. So, fairly even, or the position obviously not so. So John didn't start particularly well. I think it's fair to say City were the better side for the opening period, looked a lot more threatening. And that man Aguero, he's quite good at football, to be fair. Good finish, and it looked like an uphill task at that stage.
Yeah, I was worried because they came out really, really fast. Koscielny had already made an error right at the start. And Aguero really looked on it today. It was a good finish. I don't know whether I'm being harsh on Cech or not, but I felt like he was a bit slow to get down today on both goals. I'm not saying he necessarily would have like should have saved them, but he just seemed a little bit slow in getting down. Especially when, like, the second one in particular. I know we'll come on to that later, but the first one maybe a little bit less. But yeah, just really poor today, lacking a bit of communication in the back. We were getting like the space that City had out wide. They seemed to be getting at our fullbacks very easily, and the front two, Ramsey and Elneny, didn't seem to quite work. Like the screening in front of the centre backs, there seemed to be too much space between the two lines as well, especially for players like De Bruyne and I know Elachi, what's his name, the Nigerian kid.
Kelechi Iheanacho.
Iheanacho, that's it. Yeah, I know he didn't have his greatest game today, but he's a dangerous player as well. And they were leaving too much space in between there, and I just thought that wasn't great. I mean, really good response, but we did get a bit of luck. Thanks, you, Gael Clichy. Once again, you're always a good one. But yeah, no, good finish from Aguero. And you can't give a player like that with that sort of talent time in a box or anything, because he's going to bury you.
Yeah, absolutely. And Tom, what we got then was a pretty good response, to be fair. Wouldn't exactly say back on the front foot immediately, but we had that obviously that cliché moment, which was almost comedy goals that would have been played over and over again. And then from I think it's from the resulting corner, if I'm not mistaken, the header from Olivier Giroud's coming for plenty of stick. I'll touch on him individually in a minute, giggity. But just from the goal standpoint. a good response, one that has been lacking at times this season. So decent to see that.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, you can't complain when you go 1-0 down. You're sitting going, "Oh, fuck's sake!" And then 2 minutes later, you're on level terms again. It's completely different game again. So it's nice to see us getting that equaliser straight back. I mean, it's something we could have done with early in the season. I mean, if it had remained at 1-0, I don't think we probably would have got the points. I think it's extremely important that we got that equaliser 2 minutes later, because it would have been so much trickier fighting an uphill battle 1-0 down. Because if they go 2 up after continuous pressure, because you see us when we're a goal down, we're going to be pressing much higher up to get the equaliser, and they can hit us on the break when we're really quite vulnerable this season. So, as I say, it's extremely important we got that equaliser straight away. And on Giroud, it's nice to see him get a goal, because we know he can score. It's just his best weapon is his heading ability in terms of scoring goals. And we don't really put enough crosses into the box from open play, or if we do, they're not enough higher quality to be able to get Giroud in the right position. So getting a set piece, putting a cross in from a corner is his best chance normally in games. So it's good that we got that and took advantage of it. As you say, the comedy gold moment of Clichy was brilliant. And the look on Hart's face when that ball went past the post was comical. And then I would have loved to see his face as the ball went in the back of the net straight 10 seconds later. So no, it's good. It's you can't complain about that.
You almost wanted that sort of slow mo filter thing going on, which
Matrix. Good pressure in as well from Danny Welbeck. And to put that pressure on, and then I know Giroud put the cross into himself, who wasn't in the box.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's as you say, the pressure pays off, doesn't it? Just to sort of go at them. Speaking of pressure, though, John, straight after obviously second half, I mean, you touched on Petr Cech. We were back behind to Prince William's well taken goal. Two things I want to highlight in this goal. Mention the Petr Cech thing by all means, and I also want to ask you: Do you think Arsenal players are instructed to do this run alongside people and make no attempt to win the ball thing? Because Gabriel is one of the worst at it. I really don't understand the point of just running alongside unless you're going to put a foot in. So just sort of give your thoughts on the goal and as you say, Petr Cech being beaten at the near post again. It's a bit of a worry.
I'm not really sure what our midfield was doing. It was, I think it was Bellerin first who sort of got done by the bounce of the ball, and De Bruyne, he's done that quite a lot. It's something I noticed. He does this sort of, he looks like he's going to go for head it and then just sort of holds the player off with strength, lets it bounce and gets around him, and just did Bellerin, and then El Nene just breezed past, couldn't get back at him. You know, he didn't think, oh, he's running straight at the back four, I'll just take a book in here, you know, maybe a little bit not cynical enough. And then that, as soon as he's running at Gabriel, he's got, why is he running away? You know, like he's turned completely wrong. And he's going the wrong side. He started to show him inside towards the goal as well at one point. I mean, he's a great strike and he's a really good striker of the ball. He's like, for me, he's probably, I know Leicester have been amazing and everything, but if I had to pick one player of the season, I think he's been the best player this season in the Premier League. I think he's been amazing, considering it's his first season. But again, yeah, Cech. Like a few of my friends are Chelsea fans, and they said to me that he's a bit suspect, like going down at his near post. It's a problem that they had, and I was like, no, yeah, I'll just ignore it. You know, they're just saying it just because he's at Arsenal now, and it's a couple of times now he's been done like that. I'm not sure if it's a huge issue because he's still a quality keeper. But again, it was just a bit like, maybe he could have got down a little bit quicker for that. I know De Bruyne can hit a ball really well, but he's a long way out. I don't know what Gabriel's doing, but why has he been allowed to run that far in the first place? It is ridiculous.
Agree. And at that stage, like particularly in that position, you almost want him to foul him, don't you? Just take one for the team and step across
he's
him.
He's done Bellerin, who's high up the pitch, which is a problem we've had all season. We know that with our fullbacks. Our wide men weren't covering our fullbacks at all today. So Elneny and Ramsey had more work to do whilst they're trying to get up front to try and help out with the attack. So the workload that they get is ridiculous. And they didn't, neither of them covered themselves in much glory in that. Elneny didn't make the tackle. Ramsey was too far over to one side and he couldn't get in there. And Gabriel was just, I don't want to rail just on Gabriel because I didn't think Koscielny had a particularly good game either. I thought he was a bit iffy in a few decisions today as well.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I'll touch
But
on just.
the sorry, yeah, those two, and also Cech himself. There was a couple of times, like when the ball was coming in and Koscielny's turned around and expecting Cech to come and take it or clear it out, and he hasn't done. And Koscielny's had to play the pass back, and they're sort of not arguing with each other, but looking a bit like which one of us was supposed to go there, like too much uncertainty, which hadn't been a huge issue the rest of the season.
Yeah, I agree. So I say it's almost like it seems like almost a communication issue, which is a bit weird. Seems like played together for months. But Tom, we dug in again, and it's good to see. Again, I'll come on to individuals in a minute. But some brilliant hold up play from Olivier Giroud, whatever you think of, absolutely fantastic piece of centre forward play. And funnily enough, he'd done it a couple of moments before, but this time it pulled off rather well, and Alexis darted through, and it was a very, if you get what I mean by this, sort of a typically Alexis finish, and real grit and determination to get back at 2-2.
Yes, certainly the hold up play was brilliant, and it's reminiscent of play that he's done when he's in form. And it's really that Sanchez, and what I've been saying, that it works well. So, well, Giroud and Sanchez do work well together when Giroud is playing well. That's just Sanchez running onto his hold up play with the passes he makes, the quick 1-2s, does work. And even though a lot of people, including myself, would like a much better striker at the moment, we don't have that, and you need to just take note of what he does do. And this is one of the great things he can do. Sanchez's finish was excellent, completely wrong-footed Joe Hart. I mean, it was when he came onto it, I thought he was going to go top right, reminiscent of the goal he scored in a 3-0 Man United win. But he went for the other side, and it went in the net really quite easily. It was a good finish, and it'd been nice if he was on that sort of goal-scoring form earlier on in the season. And I think it was Drew sent us a message saying Sanchez has scored 5 of our last 8 goals, so you know what sort of form the guy's in right now. And going back to the Walcott chance, I was a little bit frustrated by it. It was another good. Just say it again, hold up play, and 1-2 by Giroud laying him through. But for me, if there's, it's like what happened in Sunderland, where he pulled out of the Chandra Kabul, which is completely criminal, and shouldn't happen. I think when I saw the replay of it from a reverse angle, it looked as if Walcott had a little bit more time than he did think than he had. I think there was a lot more space between him and Hart than what was seen from just the television view of the camera. And if he doesn't have a Euros, maybe he's a bit backing out of challenges. He might have gone in a little bit harder and with a little bit more determination to try and get to that ball first and get a better touch on it. So we'll never know, but we got the goal eventually a few minutes later, and we got back to 2-2. And at that point, I thought this could go either way. And I think it was Santi Cazorla was warming up on the sides, and he someone I saw someone tweet saying he was going to come on for Sanchez. Now, I'm not sure if that's true, and I don't want anyone to quote me on that, because I'm not sure if that is the right thing or not. If it was said by a commentator or whatnot, I didn't hear it. But I think Sanchez certainly proved him wrong if that was the case, by scoring that goal. And then we tried to turn it round by bringing on Coquelin, and went more defensive, and the rest is history. So, but yeah, it's nice to see Sanchez is in such good school goal scoring form now.
Yeah, ironically, we're starting to get the best of him with a game to go. It's on slow, isn't it? Just in time for him to bugger off to the Copa America and be knackered again for next summer. So, good times. John, let's sort of start to have a look at some individuals then. I want to start with Danny Welbeck, really, because we have some pretty poor news, really, or what we think might be poor news. We should say at this point, nobody knows. Nobody knows exactly what the extent of the injury is, but it didn't look good, did it? You know, it was a challenge that was fairly innocuous. The knee seemed to go at an awkward angle. He's obviously had these issues of knee problems. And I always think with these injuries, without the benefit of medical knowledge, as some of our podders have, Dom in particular, you can usually tell by the player's reaction whether it's a bit of a serious one or not. And he didn't look happy, did he? He didn't look a player that ever felt that it wasn't something other than something serious.
Yeah, that look was one of frustration for coming back so strong, and I think that was a look of, I'm going to miss the Euros. I know not all of us are huge fans of international football, but for some players, it really does mean a lot playing for their country. And for Welbeck in particular, he always does really, really well for England. I mean, I like I said, we don't know exactly. Josh has just put in the chat. Wenger thinks it's meniscus. I've got the, what did I say? Lateral meniscus, because I asked Dom about it. and he was explaining. It was where they were pressing on his near his knee anyway, whatever that bit of your knee is. And if it's that, then yeah, there's no way he's playing in the Euros. Hopefully it's just that, because then I think they said that's probably like an 8-week thing. So maybe for us, I know it sounds horrible, but for us it's maybe not that bad, because it means he gets the summer off. Obviously you'd rather a player never get an injury, but just hope it's nothing like more serious, like an ACL or whatever. But yeah, he didn't look happy at all, and I think that was more born out of frustration, because I think he knows that that's his chance to play for England gone this summer. But I mean, before that, before the injury, I thought he was really good. You know what you're going to get with Danny Welbeck. His work rate's fantastic. You know, he pressured to win the ball back that led to, you know, the cross and the cliche error for our goal. I just think he's a really good player. I really like him. He's never going to score you bucket loads of goals, I don't think. I just don't think he's of that level. But he will always give you 100% in every game. He'll always run his heart out for you. And I think he's the sort of guy that you need. You've got to have players like that in your squad if you want to win things. We just need the players that the level above to be on the pitch and him to come on or to complement them.
Agreed. And he's probably his protege in Marcus Rashford. I wouldn't mind betting that they'll end up taking him now, which will just be another player that we can all get over the moon excited about, and he'll only fly. Well, I say we. I couldn't give a monkey's about England. I hope they never play again.
This is a sentence I thought I'd never say. I feel a bit sorry for Jermaine Defoe, because I think he's...
Absolutely, yeah. 100%, yeah. Which is a weird thing, because I really like Jermaine Defoe and I really hate him all in the same breath.
Yeah.
So it's a really, really strange divided opinion. Tom, let's move players then. Let's try and sort of take it up to a more upbeat level then. So his replacement was the lesser spotted OAP spitter, Jack Wilshere. I joke. He came out, by the way, in the press and denied those rumours as complete tosh, and I'm quietly confident it is rubbish. But I thought he looked decent. He seemed to play in that sort of central midfield role. A couple of nice touches. It's good to see that his passing range is still there. He looked fairly sharp, albeit rusty at times, which you'd expect. But he seems to be... Shall we... No, I don't want to tempt fate. I don't want to touch wood too much. But he seemed to look like a player who trusts his body, you know, who trusts his ability to move around the pitch. And I thought he played quite well when he came on.
Yeah, I think that's certainly true. I mean, the bit about trusting his body, I think that comes from, as when Neil was on here talking about Jack Wilshere, saying that the guy is being patient with it. He's not going to be forced into being rushed back, because we need him. He wants to get a good season and a good run of games under his belt, and not even think about getting another injury. And I think that's where you need to go. It was interesting, the position he played. When he came on, it was as if he was playing at the number 10 position at first, with Iwobi and Sanchez playing either side of him, and there was a little bit of free form and flowing between the midfielders, but he was a majority in there. He was up and down midfield. He was back in the defensive midfield role, taking on players and taking the ball off them when he could, trying to intercept passes. And he was having an excellent game, I thought. And I've been saying this, and we've been talking about the option of, if Ozil, say, was to leave in some capacity, not saying that he's not a good player, because he's arguably our best player. But for us, we've discussed the fact that he might not be suited to the style of play that we actually do. And I've always been an advocate of possibly trying Wilshere out of 10 and bringing in a world-class player of Ozil's quality in a more of a wide position and a more of a goal-scoring, creative player. And I think that Wilshere can play that position. I think his energy and his pace and the way that he likes to take the ball and drive at defences, and I think that's especially needed when we come up against the likes of Crystal Palace and Norwich and Sunderland, which we will sit in and we'll just sit and know how we're going to play, whereas Wilshere will push forward and try and force the defence into mistakes, draw players out, and then play a pass or take a shot right at the last moment with quality, because the guy's got he has got the quality to have a good end product. And I think when you come up against teams like that, it could be a dangerous weapon that we've really quite lacked throughout the whole of this season.
It's ironic, isn't it, that one of his greatest strengths is retaining the ball to the last minute and then slipping someone in. It's almost the one thing we kind of don't want him to do anymore, because that's where he gets the invites the challenges. But you would hope that, as you said there, that he trusts his... Yeah.
He got challenged in like 30 few seconds of coming on as well.
He did
it that clear. As soon as he came on, he was running up against players. And
everybody went... Like, all collectively. No. John, touch on another midfielder, Aaron Ramsey, who divided opinion, I think it's fair to say. I hold my hands up. I've been a little bit in the camp this season that I wouldn't say got on his back, but I worry about his discipline. Got his back a little bit there. I worry about his discipline, and I worry that maybe he might rate himself a bit higher than maybe he should. But today, I thought we saw a slightly different side of him, a side that sort of got back and got challenges in. He still gave the ball away a little bit too much for my liking, but he kind of showcased that engine that he's got in the ability that he actually does get back. He did cover back in, he did get back in and make the challenges, as well as providing us with a bit of thrust going forwards. Do you think that maybe having a player like El Nene beside him is more suited, because El Nene is more comfortable on the ball than, say, Coquelin, who is obviously just sort of racing around cleaning up after him? Do you think that's maybe why we're getting a bit more from him now?
Yeah, he's El Nene isn't the exact same player, but you remember Ramsey's best season was when he played and he had Mikel Arteta next to him, who is superb on the ball. He can do wonderful passes, but the best thing about Mikel Arteta was just his simple passing. You just get the ball and give it and just keep the game going. And that's kind of what Elneny did. The interesting thing for me today was that I thought Elneny was forward a lot more than Ramsey was. And it was Ramsey going to get the ball off the back four, and Elneny was doing a lot more of the legwork. But Ramsey put in some really, really good tackles today. There was a few times where he really saved Monreal's blushes, who was getting roasted by Jesus Navas, like the Spanish fucking Andros Townsend. Jesus Christ, that guy is awful.
Spanish Theo Walcott, maybe.
I don't know what was going on with that today. That was bizarre. But, he put in one. I can't remember I think it was against Navas, or it might have been Aguero even. A really, really good challenge in the box that he slid in for. It was perfectly timed. And I think he does that a lot more often than people realise, and they just don't see it. It was a bit like, sort of like the easiest comparison I can see was when Lampard was sort of heralded as this amazing box-to-box midfielder, but the only people ever talked about his goals and none of the other stuff he did. And I think Ramsey is a little bit unfortunate in that, because he had that really great season for all the goals, that's all people want to see out of him. And because we are quite a possession-based side, when he tries to make something happen, if it doesn't come off, everyone will moan and groan about it and go, oh, well, he could have passed the ball 5 yards to the left. Well, you'll moan about that, because I know I do, because I can't stand it when they just pass the ball to the left all the time. I want him to go forwards and try something. And if he gives the ball away, he gives the ball away, but sometimes you've got to try something, you know. So I think he does come in for too much stick. And the other biggest thing, really, is the fact that he's never had a settled position. Ever since, you know, he's been at the club since he was, 17? He's literally, the only place he hasn't played is in goal for Arsenal. It is unbelievable. Do you remember, like, the games he used to be played at right back sometimes, didn't he? He'd be shifted around everywhere because the manager trusts him, rightly or wrongly. That's, you know, up to people and their opinion. But I think he comes in for too much stick, myself. And I think the giving the ball away thing, yeah, it can be frustrating, but if you don't try it, you're not going to get a pass off. And look, let's be honest, not everyone can be Mesut Ozil and hit a 50-yard ball inch perfect onto someone's toe. All I'd say is give the guy a break.
Yeah, is that to me or in general?
Yeah, you in particular, yeah. Pirate.
Me personally, God damn it.
let me moan about Theo Walcott. No.
We'll get there. I want to just move on to Olivier Giroud, because I think you both got sort of views on him, and I've certainly got 10 pence worth as well. Tom, I'll start with you. I tweeted, I like to try not to tweet during games because I don't want to be a hypocrite. It infuriates me when you see just people just constantly tweeting throughout a game, and I'm like, do you even watch these games? But occasionally I just sort of get the better of me, and I like to just chuck my 10 pence worth in. And I just tweeted that I find it baffling that some people still refuse to see what Giroud brings to this team. And I used the line of fantastic centre-forward play on several occasions today. Now, I'm with you. I do think that if the upgrade is available, we all know who I like, but we'll stay away from that. But if the upgrade is available and there is an opportunity to bring in a quote-unquote upgraded or better or world-class or whatever terminology you want to use, striker, then yes, I do agree we should go and do it. But he scored a goal today, first in 15 games, yada, yada, yada. We've been over that. But his work rate, his ability to do what he can do up front, Do you think that goes under the radar, especially when he goes without goals? People just assume he's terrible. Do you think that goes a bit under the radar?
Yeah, I think it does. I think Jace is a great person when he talks about Giroud, personally, our American person. But no, I think that what you highlight about what he does without goals and assists, which is all people have when they like to argue these things, is they'll whip out their little stats thing and throw them at you like anything, like tomatoes in a stockade. But at the end of the day, he does things on the pitch which can't be quantified just in stats. And he does do things with his hold-up play and his passing, and which is really quite... what's the word I'm looking for? It's quite just different, I guess, different to what we normally have in Arsenal sides. And if we do bring in that upgrade, which I'm a big advocate of, I think we should be having a better striker as our number one striker at Arsenal Football Club. I don't want us to sell Giroud, because he's certainly a different option to many other strikers that would come in as an upgrade. And sometimes, as Man City tried to do today, and I'm not saying this guy is a good footballer or an excellent striker, but they brought on Wilfried Bonny, who's a much more physical and a guy who's good with his head, to try and bring on a different different dimension to their attack and try to get a winner, which is what we could do if we still had that world-class striker up top, or just an upgraded striker on Giroud, that in games where we're struggling and defences are much more physical and it's not working, when you have a small nippy Aguero-type striker, that you can bring on someone like Giroud, who's good with his hold-up play and good in the air. So I think he's someone worth keeping no matter who we bring in the summer, and just as a second dimension. But at the end of the day, my feelings are that I think we should have an upgrade, but I don't think he's worth slating at all, because when the guy's on form, he can be a prolific striker, and we've seen that in bursts this season and last season, that he's been scoring goals quite regularly when he's in form. The last 15 games, I admit, it's not great, but at the same time, we know the guy can score regularly, and I think it's just the fact that people are so clamouring for this world-class striker that it's quite easy to jump on the back of the Frenchman, and in a way that's probably unfair in many ways. But no, I think he's, as I've been saying for many weeks, overachieved for the £12 million that we bought him with. So, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest things people forget, is that, you know, the value we've got out of a guy who essentially had was based his form on one very good season, and I think he's paid back very much more than what he was valued at. Whether you think we should have gone higher is another view. But John, I got a tweet actually during the game from somebody I thought made a very fair and very well-rounded point to my tweet. I don't know whether he's watching or listening. It's a name I've not heard of before. A chap called Paul McGettigan, I think that's how you pronounce it, at Paul McGettigan 5. He says, I have to agree with you, but maybe it's Wenger who doesn't play to his strengths enough. Do you think maybe that's an argument, John, in that Giroud actually does a very good job for us, but he's not being asked to do the job that he's very good at? He's asked to do more, which he's probably not good enough to do. Would that be fair?
I don't dislike Giroud. I think he's a good player. But that's it. I just think he's a good player. I don't think he's amazing. I don't think he's ever going to get you 25 goals a season. He's quite good with his head. The weird thing is, I think he only scored one headed goal in League One before he joined us. So it was like two headed goals, that was it. We don't really cross the ball, so that's not going to help him. We play with a number 10 who likes to play cutting balls that beat defences and offside traps, but we have a striker who likes it into feet with his back to goal, so no, that's not really playing to his strengths. He can do all the fancy flicks and stuff like he did today, and it was great. And he played really well today, and I'll give him credit for it. I still don't think he should have started. I know he scored the goal, he got the assist, but I think on form, he shouldn't have played in the game. And he has been, to be perfectly honest, really poor the second half of the season. Every time previously in his Arsenal career where he's had these dips and had these drops in form, he's come back and he's come back better. And this is the one time it hasn't happened, which is a little bit worrying. I thought the fact of everything that's going on with France and Benzema being dropped as well, maybe it gives him even more encouragement to play better, and then he could be like, not only will I get my spot and claim it for Arsenal, I can claim it for France, and I can play in the Euros, and it's in my own country, and I've got a really good chance of winning it. And I didn't, you know, it seems really strange to me. I like him, and he's fine off the bench, but I think he's a plan B for me. I don't think the manager does play to his strengths, but it's just... I don't think he's good enough for what we want. And it's no disrespect to him as a player, he's a good player. But I think he is a on the bench, he's a squad player, he's a come on when you need him. You know, you're 2-1 down in the game, 5 minutes to go, you need to get a draw, you throw in another striker and he's going to be there like Bonny was for City today and, you know, throw the ball up in the air, get him to win the knockdowns and stuff. And he's good at that and that's great. And if he comes on and he gets you sort of 10 goals in a season, you know, a couple of assists or something, that's fine. He may not be the happiest player in the world with that. Maybe he thinks he's better than he is. But, yeah, I think he's like, he's one of those just below sort of, he teeters between the Europa League, Champions League level kind of striker. He's roundabouts there, and I don't think he's ever going to be better than that. He's improved since he's come to Arsenal, though. There's no doubt about that. He's got better, but
basically a ten to twelve million pound striker, essentially.
Yeah,
you know,
essentially what we play for. You know, he's a 7 out of 10 kind of player. Occasionally he'll have a game where he'll be, you know, wonderful, and he'll like the game the couple of years ago where he scored that belter against City, where he absolutely levered it, and you know, something like the flick today, that's great and everything. But those moments are too far in between.
Yeah, that's fair. And again, you know, on this show, we try and be measured, and we try and look at it from both sides. You know, I'm not sitting here and saying he's the next Lewandowski. Far from it. I have said that he's world class before, and I think in certain areas of his game, I stand by that. I know Mr. Shredder does as well. But I think you can be world class in some areas of your game and not be world class as a rounded player. So I think it's I think it all just depends on your point of view and what type of football you watch, I guess. But open to debate. Let's move on from Giroud and you know, fair play. One other thing I actually quickly just mentioned on him, as to your point there, John, I think he himself, to his credit, even said last summer that he would welcome competition. I suppose he's always going to say that, but I think genuinely, I think a player of a higher level could take his game on to another level. So we'll see what happens this summer when we bring back Yaya Sanogo and all will be well. I joke. Let's go to another player, Tom. A couple of people have copped a bit of flack to Nacho Monreal today. I think he, as John alluded to the fact, he did get a little bit done by Jesus Navas at times today, who, he's very bizarre, Navas, he's a lot of pace, not a lot of brain. But Nacho didn't have his best day, but I think criticism of him is a little bit rich, do you not think? I think he's had a pretty solid season and maybe just needs a bit of competition to help kick his game on again.
Yeah, I can't fault. It's hard to fault Nacho Monreal. I mean, it's easy after one performance. Anyone's got to have a target, and apparently today is Monreal, probably because Giroud had a good game. So they got to pick on someone else. But no, I really like Monreal as a person. And no, not just because he came from the Spanish league, but he's been a good player for us consistently. He's probably been, you know, when you're playing and you're under 12s, under 13s, and you always get that most consistently improved or most improved award at the end of the season. For me, he always gets that in the season. So he's got because he's come on leaps and bounds as a footballer at Arsenal Football Club since we signed him from Malaga. And I think criticism after one match and a bad performance is very premature. He's great in the way he reads the game and his way he intercepts balls and even how he gets forward, which wasn't something that he necessarily was great at when he was at Malaga. I mean, he did get forwards and create assists, but at Arsenal, he's really flourished in that respect in getting forwards, and I think that he does help out the attack and whatnot. So I think criticism is very premature on Monreal, and I remember we were talking last season, people were gunning for us to bring in a replacement after he's had a great season. So it's very much just the mindset of maybe some of the fans that we just need a new toy, and maybe if we criticise this bloke then we can start advocating to bring someone else in. But ultimately I think that Monreal is a very capable left back. Eventually he will need replacing because he's now the wrong side of 30. But after one performance in a season where he's been one of the best players, in a season where we have disappointed, I don't think it's worth getting your knickers in a twist about it personally.
No, and if we do bring in a left back, which it seems likely we will in the summer, particularly if it is Rafa Guerrero, based on what I know of him, I think that might be the tonic that Monreal needs to go again, because it must be not tough, that's the wrong word, it must be a little bit more, how can I put this, when you've got Kieran Gibbs behind you,
comfortable.
Yeah, when you've got Kieran Gibbs behind you who's struggling to even get a game as a sub, you must start to think, well, I'm going to play every game. So there's a little bit of a complacency there. There must be. And I think when you've got a player who signed potentially in the summer who's younger and could go on to be better, long term, that will hopefully kick his game on again. And I'd like to see the same with Bellerin, by the way. I'd like to see, you know, whether that is Carl Jenkinson or not, we'll have to see. But I'd like to see somebody, if not Jenkinson, somebody else brought in to push him, because I don't think Debussy will be coming back. So, yeah, we shall see. We shall see. John, how do you solve a problem like Theo Walcott? I know you wanted to have the floor on this one. I was probably one of the very few people, I think Dom said the same. I could see why he was used today. I know people would obviously have said about Joel Campbell, and I understand that. But I think today was the sort of game that suited Walcott. And okay, he missed that chance that came to him towards the end where he lobbed Joe Hart wide.
That chance.
Yeah, there was an element of try and get it away before he got clattered. But yeah, what do you make? I mean, does he strike you as a player who's playing out his final days before shifting off to Liverpool or somewhere like that?
I really don't know. Like, he had a good chance against Hart, and at first I thought, oh, he really did actually go for it, and Hart made a little save or something, and then you see it again, and it's like, oh no, he didn't. He bottled it. Before that, oh, the dog's just come and see me. Say hello. No, you don't want to say hello. Sorry. before that, he actually looked quite interested for once. He got down the wing a couple of times. He did the, you know, where Clichy misread it, and he actually ran. I know he's just running in a straight line fast, which is, you know, not difficult for him. Well, apparently, sometimes it is. But, you know, he did that, and he put a good ball across and fizzed it across well. I just don't understand it. I think there's... If we can get better, then yeah, sell him. If it's a case of we sell him and just get someone to replace and nothing, you know, no other players, then I'm not sure it quite works, because at least he's back up. But it's the money he's on. It's not my money, so I don't really care about it, but it's 140 grand a week you give to someone else, or you get two players on 70 grand a week who are probably going to make twice as much effort as him. I don't know. It's weird. Maybe like last game of the season, he's got a book out or something, and he wants that he'll go and score a goal so he can reveal a T-shirt with the logo on or something. I get fed up with him, honestly. He's been there so long now, and his form is just so up and down. And because you've seen how good he can be, and it's just like, just do it all the time then. You know, other players do it. Why can't you? You can't be bothered. I don't get it. And the weird thing is now, like, we could have sold him to Liverpool for quite a few years. Quite happy they would have bought him. Do you really think Jurgen Klopp's going to look at Theo Walcott and go, oh, I definitely want him? He definitely fits in a gegenpressing style, and he's going to run for me all day long. He's not going to do that, is he?
No.
I mean, we can only hope that Slaven Bilic isn't doing the transfers at West Ham and they're stupid enough to buy him, honestly.
Well, apparently this City rumour is quite genuine. I mean, I can sort of see why. Because I'm not sure that Guardiola is sold on Sterling, who, by the way, Steve, in our podcast group made a very, very prominent point, which I 100% agree with him. How much under the radar has Raheem Sterling, £50 million Raheem Sterling, gotten? He has been abysmal since he signed for City, I have to say.
£50 million quid to them is nothing, though. It doesn't matter.
Oh, no, I agree. I'm just so glad we dodged that bullet, mate. I really am.
But is that... He was quite good when he first went there. Is it a case of he's completely unsure about his future because there's a new manager coming in?
Easy excuse to make, though, isn't it? I mean, it just seems to me like a player doesn't really fit at all. But
I don't know. You're also talking about a player who's very young. It's not like Theo Walcott, who is what, 28?
Oh God, no, I'm not comparing the two. Jesus.
Yeah, you know what I mean, though. You're talking about two completely different points in their career. Players that young still have dips and stuff in their career, and that must be a bit. Like, well, there's a new manager coming in. I've got no idea whether he wants me or not. Am I going to be stuck at a club, not be able to go somewhere else because I've got such a high price tag? He may be stuck in, you know, playing with the under 21s for a year, and that really messes his career up. So, yeah. I don't know. I get what you mean, but yeah, it's a bit. It's kind of like us with Oxlade-Chamberlain, you know.
Yes. Who's the manager?
He's still at that age where. Do you give him another year because he's had so many injuries and setbacks and missed so much time playing, or should he be further along than he already is? You know, you're not really.
I think you
sure
give. I think you give him another year. I think Walcott's.
I'd like to think we would. Yeah.
I think the fact that the manager has essentially come out And whilst he hasn't said I'm going to sell Theo Walcott, he certainly hasn't said yes he will be here next season either, has he? And he hasn't done with Oxlade-Chamberlain, so I think that could speak volumes in that regard. And you know, I say it's not a witch hunt. You know, I want to see the good in Theo. You know, and I get the people that say, well, he's not being played in his right position, but I'm a little bit old school. You're playing for Arsenal Football Club, you should damn well play where you're told and get on with it. And that goes for Ramsey or anyone. And yes, play to their strengths, but I just don't think Walcott is cut out to be, certainly not in a 4-4-2. Yeah, he's ideal. Much like Defoe's been for Sunderland, but you know, up front in his own, you know, he hasn't got the work rate, and I don't think he's got the ability to run that channel.
It's confusing when you see someone like Campbell, who I basically wrote off, who pretty much turned around his Arsenal career, I thought, this season with the performances he put in, worked really hard, got goals, put some really great performances, and then just got dropped. Just by absolutely nothing.
I think that's just the manager just does not fancy him. I think that's...
Yeah, I mean, I get the whole point of it looks like he's going to go regardless and Wenger obviously doesn't want him at all. But surely you still go, you know, we've got to get the results. I want to get the points. Let's put on the player who's going to put the performance in, not the one who I might possibly keep, but I don't really like because all he ever talks about is money and it really annoys me. It doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. Well, we'll save some money. I'm just watching a chat warm up for Galatasaray at the moment. Lukas Podolski, should we get him back? he has been fun on social media, I'll say that much. Tom, let's come back to you then. And the sort of final player or sort of area of the pitch I want to look at was that central midfield area again. I just want to get your thoughts on Mohamed Elneny. Now, he has impressed people since he's come in. Amazingly, turns out he's quite a good player. Funny that. But I think he's got back-to-back Player of the Month awards for whatever you rate those. Do you get the impression that he's almost edged ahead of Francis Coquelin in the sort of pecking order now? I especially want to ask you that ahead of next season, because there's all these rumours about Xhaka and various other players that we might be looking at. So do you think that he's going to be the one that will be given the nod rather than spending money?
I think we will spend money in that area. I pray we do. You can't really hope with Arsenal, but in terms of like the competition with Coquelin, I think it's a combination of two things. One, Coquelin has been really quite underwhelming compared to some of his previous form in the latter stages of this season. When he's returned from injury, he's not been the amazing player he was last season to a point. He's been good, and he does still break up play and create deceptions and make tackles, but it hasn't been on the level that he has been in the past. And then you combine that with Elneny, who can do what Coquelin's doing right now, probably a slightly higher level in terms of defensive qualities, but his passing is much better than Elneny's. So Wenger's in a team which is based upon a passing game is probably why he's getting the reason why he's going in above Coquelin. So that's probably why you're seeing Elneny play. In terms of next season, say if we weren't to buy a midfielder, which I pray we do, I think that Elneny will be starting ahead of Coquelin. It's interesting because we said when he came in, he wasn't a DM, and I don't think he is a DM. I think he can play there. I think he's more of a deep-lying midfielder than an out-and-out defensive midfielder. But he's doing well there, and if he's doing well there, if he's broke, don't fix it in terms of a single player. But no, I think that he's deserved his place above Coquelin, and it's, as I say, it's a combination of him playing well and Coquelin being a bit more underwhelming than he has been in the past.
Agreed. I think John actually made an excellent point, and it happens occasionally. when you said about Mikel Arteta, and you know, I know everybody sort of has this long running joke and ha ha ha, he's shit and he can't run, ha 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 ha. He was very, very good when fit at doing that, the role that Elneny is now basically doing, getting it, giving it simple. But I think he's adding more. He's essentially doing what Arteta could do if fit, which obviously now is not the case. So I think you made a good point there, John. I get the impression, I think we said it on this show before, that he was brought in January ahead of the summer, when I think we would have signed him. And I think he's probably going to be, when Arteta leaves, he'll be that replacement. And then if you do the Xhaka or the Kante deal or whoever, he or them will be the replacement maybe for the Flamini situation, I would imagine. But we shall see.
Pixel's just put a great comment in the chat.
shit. Oh, good grief. Yeah, that's,
do you want to read that out for anyone who's listening on the podcast version of this?
Oh, absolutely. Pixel Rapture, Vine legend, Pixel Rapture, has just said, quote, "I'd shit on my mum's face for Kante." Coming to cinema.
I'll give a little applause for that. Very good.
It is good, yeah. A nod to Mr. Pixel, who is a genius at making vines. The one of Danny as in Trapdoor was fantastic. Thank you for that one. Okay, so what else should we touch on? Let's touch on where it leaves us in the league and the situation where we are. Tom, it leaves us with Spurs losing to Southampton. Oh, they're the gift that keeps on giving. And before anyone jumps to the chat room and say, well, they're above us, I don't care. They're hilarious and they're a bunch of... Anyway, with them dropping points today, it does leave us in with a mathematical chance of second. It does require them to go to Newcastle and lose, which, sadly, I have a... No, and more importantly, I can see Everton shitting the bed spectacularly and losing to Sunderland, which makes Newcastle's last game
irrelevant.
Completely irrelevant. So it leaves us mathematically in chance with catching them. But more importantly, perhaps, it leaves us essentially guaranteed top four. John, I'm looking at you. I'll come to you in a minute when we'll talk about Liverpool's Europa League and what that means to us.
Get your book out.
Yeah, absolutely. Tom, how important is it that we take this third place finish potentially with a win over Villa, because of the manager was stating in his press conference that it's absolutely vital with the Euros in the summer. He didn't mention transfers, but that's going to be key. And the fact that we do not want to be coming back basically tomorrow to start pre-season.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it speaks for itself. I mean, to be honest, there is absolutely no pros at being in that qualifying spot. The only one I could think of is that it starts your competitive season earlier and you'd be more up for the season when it starts. But you compare that to the more security of being in the Champions League and being able to bring in players earlier and not having to have, as you say, start a pre-season earlier and whatnot, especially with a European competition going through the summer. So I think it's vital that we take the game against Villa completely seriously and win the match. With Spurs, I mean, it is that Sunderland game you look at and think, I can't, Everton are just shit, aren't they? They are just shit. So I cannot see Everton getting anything out of that game, to be honest, especially with the form that Sunderland are in. I think they've lost one of their last nine matches, Sunderland, some ridiculous stat like that, which is really good, which is form I'd like, to be honest. But you can't ask for everything. But no, I think that even there's a slight possibility you could say if say, Newcastle are down, that so for some of those players, it's a bit of an advert to for other clubs to try and get them to buy them in the summer and say they can still cut it in the Premier League against a top side in quote marks, obviously. But still, it's unlikely. It's unfortunate. It's unlikely. I mean, we really had to get a win. I could see a draw at Newcastle, 1-1 at Newcastle.
Hey.
I can't see it, annoyingly. And we predicted ages ago. But what is funny is, I mean, that we've come now, and it's the last game of the season. All those Spurs fans giving it. We're one game left in the season, and we can still get over them. And they've had a great season, and ours has been a train crash at the end of it. So it is still quite amusing in that respect. But ultimately, it's shit being behind them, but you can't deal with them still. So,
No, I agree. John, I'm going to ask you three quick-fire questions, if I may. All in one, as it were.
In the arse. Right. In the mouth.
First of all, if Liverpool win the Europa League, does that matter?
To who?
To anyone finishing fourth.
No.
Okay, good.
They know the Champions League. If they win, they're in the Champions League. We have five teams in it. Yep.
It's only if they win it and they finished in the Champions League spaces, then it would go down one, wouldn't it? That's only because then they're not.
No.
Okay, I was reading that on the Guardian. Anyway, irrespective, basically, if we are in the top four now, whatever, is that right? I think it is.
No,
United have still got to play. So
we've got two games in hand. So if it's mathematically, it's possible that we have to say it. We could lose to Aston Villa.
Jesus,
Man City could win their game, and then if United won their two games, then they would actually go above us. So it is possible mathematically for us to finish fifth, but that would require us to not get anything out of a home game to Aston Villa, the worst team I have ever seen in the Premier League in its entirety. Like, literally the worst team I've ever seen. Awful.
What about Derby?
No, honestly, I think they're worse than Derby.
At least Derby tried. They just weren't very good. Yeah. So part two of the three-part question then, John. What would you like to see happen between West Ham and Man United, other than some sort of acid shower?
I want West Ham to absolutely spank them.
You do? Okay.
Yeah. I do not want the longer Man United are in mediocrity and not in the Champions League, and I can laugh at them, the better. And all people will say, oh, well, you know, but what about City? I don't care. I've got no thing against City. I know they bought some of our players, and wee-wee-wee, boo-hoo-hoo, we'll get on with it and pay ours better money. You know, I hate Man United. I absolutely despise them. But there was many times where if I just saw someone in a Man United shirt, I'd just want to punch him in the face. Completely irrational. I'm not violent, man. I'm a very nice man. But see, Man United, I just want to hit you. Don't know. Oh, you're a little four-year-old girl? I want to kick you really hard. You're on a bridge. I want to kick you really hard. And it's not a river. It's lava. And you burn and terminate a thing with the thumb.
This has gone off a cliff.
Family's crying. I hate Man United.
Somebody cut his mic. Christ, we're going to get taken off the air.
I can't stand them. So, you know, Dimitri Payet, hat-trick, Lanzini, 2 foot Van Gaal in the face.
Won't happen.
Something nice like that.
Yeah. What we have to say, of course, is the last game at the Bowling Ground. I think the West Ham fans were trying desperately to ruin the last part of the remaining part of their ground yesterday anyway. But the last game at the Bowling Ground, I think it's on Wednesday, is it not? Or Tuesday?
No, it's Monday. Is it Monday night? Is it tomorrow or something weird like that, isn't it?
I'll find out. It is Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday. Man United play someone on Saturday.
And then Man United play at home to Bournemouth. So, anyhow, we're cheering you on.
So, if West Ham win that, we are guaranteed top four. That's the maths, isn't it?
We only need a point. Yeah. All we need is a point. Or West Ham, if West Ham win on Tuesday, then we're guaranteed top four. And if we get a point, as long as we get a point against Villa, then we are guaranteed third.
Okay, so my final part of the three-parter, and I'll get Tom's view on this as well, the final part of the three-parter is Villa at home. On the final day of the season, we do technically only probably need a point, but obviously we should. I mean, really, we should send out a five-a-side team and still beat them.
I might get a game, mate.
You might. Now
I'm going full John Terry, as Robert Hooke said. Well done, Robert Hooke. Very good at that.
This is the question I have for you then. Do you want to see the likes of Arteta and Rizitsky on the bench for the last 10 minutes? Do you want to see them start the game because you still think we should win it? Or do you want to see us go out early and smash them and then take them off? And what sort of lineup do you want to see on that final game of the season, irrespective of what happens in midweek with West Ham and United?
I wouldn't be... I don't think you can start any of them, honestly. I know it's only Aston Villa. Maybe Rizitsky, but he hasn't played, has he? You know, you haven't got any match games. I'd like for all of them to get a, you know, appearance so they can get a bit of a clap and everything. I'm not sure Arteta will get one because we're not even giving him a coaching role, so he's probably already left, to be honest. he's probably on his way up to Manchester now giving Pep a phone call, asking how much money he's going to get.
Is there three of them? It's technically Rizitsky, Flamini and Arteta. they're the official out of contract ones, aren't they?
They're the three that will be out of contract. Oh God, maybe Flamini will be given another year. It would be nice. I think for the most part, all of our fans would definitely. I don't think there's anything like none of our fans would boo Thomas Rosicky. They all love him. Everyone loves him. You can't not love the guy. I know people have mixed feelings about Arteta, especially in his last couple of years at Arsenal. They get that. There's no doubting that he always tried to do the best for the club, and I think he's been really good for the young players. Flamini is a very limited player, but let's not forget that this season he was, for a brief moment, Marco Van Basten against Spurs. The funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. It doesn't matter. Like, you've got so many things you can brag about over Spurs fans. But just to think that one of them is Flamini scored 2 goals against you and 2 amazing goals. He proper Van Bastened one of them as well. Flamini. It's
I still can't believe it to this day.
I think you still got, like Tom said, you still got to take this game seriously. You know, I I mean, the Villa players, are they really going to be bothered? They haven't bothered all season.
We'd like to think not. I mean, I know that they've got a bit of an issue with Newcastle fans, haven't they? Because they mocked Newcastle for going down last time. So I think there's a bit of a bitter thing yesterday. So you can see why.
I mean, if you're a Villa fan, are you going to come all the way to London to watch your team possibly
They probably will, because those lot are nuts. The Aston boys, they are nuts. But it'd be nice to help them.
Get a couple of goals and then, you know, bring them on, give them a little clap round and everything. And, you know, if you're going to moan about the manager, can you just clap the players first? And then, I don't know.
Like, we're not going into that today.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, I'd like to see them all get a little run out, even if it's just like a minute or two or whatever, so they can get some appreciation from the fans, because I'm sure all the fans want to give it.
Yeah, I agree. And Tom, your thoughts? No sentiment for, you know, this is a professional sport. Would you like to see us go out and essentially get the job done first? I mean, I'm not sure I'd take off any players until we're 4-0 up, because it is Arsenal. You should never know what might happen at 2-0.
4-0 is dangerous.
It is, yeah. And also the other sort of sidetrack to this point is, and I know managers say we don't care about other results, but let's say for argument's sake we're 1-0 up with 20 to go and say City are losing. Does that change the effect, or would you just like to see us go full strength, get the game won and then bring them on?
I'd play the same side we played today, bar obviously Welbeck personally starting. I think you can chuck at least one of them on the bench, because it's not like Campbell's going to get a fucking game, is he? So you can at least chuck one of them there.
Well, who would you
hope your away fans clapped Campbell goodbye, because they don't have
glasses cut and sort. Who would you play, Tom? Welbeck's out, who would you play Rosicki, would you?
Yeah. One, just because it's Rosicki, he's a top bloke. So I can't.
I
love Thomas Rosicki, so.
Do you know what I would do? Get your thoughts on this. What I would do is I would put Ramsey right, wide right. I'd put Rosicki onto the wide left. I'd leave Iwobi out for a game. And then I'd play Jack Wilshere and Flamini in the holding positions with El Nene. So put Jack in the 10 role, if you like.
This is why Chris is a Sunday league manager.
Cheeky bastard. No, but you know, I mean, you could
can't
have
put Nene in. You've finally just come back to match fitness in one game.
Yeah, it's Villa. I mean, Flamini could do a job alongside El Nene.
Yeah, but how many, our players are guilty of going into games going, oh, it's only blah, blah, aren't they, and not getting the result.
Yeah, I suppose. I think Dino's put it right in the chat. I think smashing by half-time, 3-0.
Yeah. You get a couple of goals, just go all out, and then, you know, you can bring those players on. But, yeah, maybe one of them sneaks into the starting line-up, possibly. Mm. If not, you know, they'll get on the bench. Just be nice to see them get a little bit of appreciation.
Yeah, I mean, either way, they'll do the old, what is it they call it, the lap of appreciation?
Lap of honour thing, yeah.
Yes, I mean, they'll get their chance, but it would be nice to see it done properly. But we'll see. Okay, right, I think that pretty much wraps us for the general part of the show. We'll just do some questions before we exit stage left. So, John, keep an eye. I know you've put a couple in the chat box already, so while you're looking for more, mm-hmm. I'll start with them. We kind of covered South Gooner 86's point about Monreal, so I'll move on to the next one here. We also kind of covered the Goonerminator about, was it Giroud's best performance since Liverpool? I would say yes, 100%, on that one. Interesting topic of conversation at the moment is, sadly it is about transfers, but we were linked with with Janssen, who's from FC 20, is he? No, AZ Alkmaar, sorry. 28 goals in the Dutch league.
Or striker? No, striker, isn't he?
Striker, yeah. I should say, congratulations. He is. And congratulations, yeah. PSV Eindhoven, who won the title today in Holland.
Oh, yeah, Ajax blew.
They did. Whoops. We've been linked with him. We've also been linked with Lukaku. And, of course, my favourite, Sancho Lacazette. Tom, you've got a preference? Is there somebody in that list?
Or in that list?
Yeah, I mean, in that, put it this way, would you be happy with one from that list? I mean, I'm pretty sure you would be about one of them. And if not, is there somebody that you would rather see us potentially go out for?
It's, you know, my, like, you're going to love this. My opinion on Lukaku has changed slightly towards the end of this season. He's certainly not been the player that he was during, let's say, two-thirds of this season. I did watch, you'll be happy to know, I did watch Leon's game. And Lacazette was fucking awesome. So He definitely put a good advert out for himself in terms of that. So out of those three, I probably would go for Lacazette out of those three, simply because I think he's a different... Because I say I want to keep Giroud, ultimately, and I think he's a much different option compared to Lukaku towards Giroud. So I probably would take Lacazette, because I think it's someone like a quick, nippy, smaller, better player on the ball and that. So, but who I want as a striker, I mean... John suggesting, I asked you guys for like five players you'd have from each of your special leagues, which, guys, you can go listen to us talk about European football at the FH podcast. So go check that out. But, John said Higuain, and that's someone I'd personally vouch for. He's a person I actually wanted to come in rather than Ozil in that summer. So, it's disappointing that happened, but disappointing that we got Ozil. That's an awful thing to say.
But, I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, but I like Higuain. I still had this really weird sneaking feeling Benzema's going to be available in the summer, and that's going to cause some furore. we'll see what happens with in terms of Aubameyang going to Madrid.
There'll be a lady with lovely heels all over that. Moving on.
I just said, Tom, you certainly don't watch properly and being influenced by the media. Yeah.
Mm. Oh, I don't watch
any football. I just do a podcast and leave it all to guesswork.
No, it's all good. I get the same from... Janu's making the point. He said earlier that Lacazette is the French Walcott. Janu, seriously, my friend. You need to watch more games with Lacazette in before passing judgment. Trust me, he is.
Lacazette can score goals, so that can't be true.
Just for those that are interested, I mean, I chucked out a couple of tweets last night, but just for those interested.
You poking people.
No, I tweeted some stats, Lacazette's stats. 18 goals a season, created 38 chances, 45 shots on target, 63 goals in his last 103 games. It's not bad, 19 goals.
Cavani, though.
And not forgetting, by the way, that he was out for the first 2 months of the season with a back injury and was at odds with his coach for 3 months as well. So he's not doing too badly. And who knew who Thierry Henry was before he signed? Well, knew who he was, but who thought he'd be as good as he was? So we'll see. And Cavani, don't get me started. He got a hat-trick against Gazlek Ajaccio. Well done, Edinson. Class, mate. John, let's have some more questions, shall we? Go for gold. What have we got?
Oh, you carry on, mate. You do it, because there's loads in the chat, so keep asking away.
Okay.
As you're the host, you're better at this than me.
You can ask them to yourself, Chris.
I could, but that would be very self-righteous. John, I'll ask you a couple, see what we got.
I'll try and answer quicker than Tom, as we're supposed to be.
Oh, we are.
10 minutes ago.
We're doing a drill now.
Well, Janu wanted to know what you thought about the Alexis rumour about leaving. I'm not sure. I don't think he's going to leave. Are you worried at all?
There's a few journalists reporting that he wasn't happy, and it wasn't just a frustration thing why he stormed off down the tunnel. That might be true. Honestly, I have no idea. I haven't got a clue. It depends whether you believe those journalists or not. Most journalists I tend to think are all right. There's a few that I think are complete knobheads. I'm not going to mention names. I don't know. Mehdi also asked a similar question of both Ozil and Sanchez of this summer. I think there's an argument that one of them could leave or ask to leave, and that I wouldn't be surprised if we got an offer for one, if not both. But I'd hope that if we did let anyone go, it'd only be one of them, not both. Because Wenger is that sort of manager. If a player asks to leave, he'll let them go. Not what I'd do. I'd say you've got contract stuff.
Yeah. Okay. The law, according to John, you stay and you will never leave.
Well, they haven't got a choice, have they?
No, I agree. No, I'm sort of with you. And then the other side of me goes, you don't want an unhappy player. It's one of those, isn't it, weighing things up. Nikki Wilson says, Sturridge, that is all. I don't know about you two, but for me, no. Attitude quickly stinks. Fitness is terrible.
Yeah.
A kid's got a lot of ability, but seriously,
bad celebration as well, not having that.
Oh, that, if honestly, I genuinely would have trouble supporting a player that celebrated.
And he launched his own clothing line. I'm not into that.
No, I can't say that phrase I was going to use, but let's say he likes his religion a bit too much for my liking. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but every bloody fight. Oh, you know, I thank God for this opportunity for doing that. Oh, I tell you what, mate.
Everyone loves Kaka.
Why don't you just
proper religious? I mean, if I was born into a billionaire family as well and happened to be an amazing footballer, he could just give his money away. But
the difference is he's very quick to thank the Lord above when he's fit, but then when he's not fit, he suddenly goes missing. It's strange, that. Anyway, not particularly keen, personally. Lots of ability, but, yeah. Does John like Man United, Jacko Blue? I can answer that one, Jacko. No. Mehdi also asked about Zion Sanchez off in the summer. I don't think so. Imperial Tom, this is an interesting one. Imperial 109 wants to know, do you think Ozil is injured in quote marks? Can't see any reason why he would have been left out unless he was injured today, can you? I can't.
It's happened before, like we've been like, why is Ozil not in the lineup? And it turns out he's got a little niggle. I don't know, it's weird, he gets them often. I don't think there's anything behind that. I honestly really don't. So it's like people forget he's still got what, 2 years to run on his contract? Like, I don't think we should be worrying just about yet. Like, even though like I'm a person who wants, I'd rather have a more world class wide player and play Jack at 10. I mean, I'm still don't think, I don't think that happened, and I think Ozil will remain at this club. But I think he is injured. I genuinely do. So no, but I'm probably a gullible knob. So you know.
No, I'm with you. I just don't see why Arsene Wenger would leave him out of a game to like this importance, where a single pass could be the difference between winning or losing a game of this magnitude. I just can't think he would do it. But who knows? There's another one here. Should we play Iwobi up front next game? Just try him out, from Tom Douglas. I'll take that one quickly. I don't think so, Tom. I get what you're saying, but I think the time to be doing that is pre-season, not in a game that could mean something. And as Tom said earlier on, if it's not broke, don't fix it. I think leave him where he is. Everything very rude. Everything. John, if I'll ask you this one because I know Tom will have his own views. I might bring him in afterwards. But talk about Diego Simeone. Yawn. He says, if Diego Simeone can replace and rebuild a team that lost to Madrid 2 years ago, why can't he come to Arsenal and build his team? I know my views. I know Tom will have his views. But John, what do you think to that?
I personally, I think he could. I know lots of people don't think he can. I know people think that our squad isn't full of the types of players that he wants or needs. But I don't think anyone thought Antoine Griezmann was going to go to Atletico and turn into the player he's become. He's attacking talent. No one denied that. But the work rate he does and the defensive work he does, I don't think anyone saw that in his game. And Simeone got that out of him. You know, he's a very passionate manager, and I know I get why people like him. He's got kind of the Klopp vibe, but like the nasty side of it, if you like. And I'm not against defensive football. I watch Serie A all the time. I love it. you know, and the other thing as well is I think Atletico do get a bit of stick because when they're up against, they only get watched by lots of people when they're in the big games up against the big size like Arsenal and whatever, and they play that very defensive style and counter attack and very competitive. But when you see them against other teams, they actually play some really nice football, and they've got some great players who really can play. So I'm not against it. I just think that for as little as the board at Arsenal know about football, the one thing they do still seem to have is the whole the Arsenal style management, that you can't have someone who is deemed as disrespectful and whatever. It's not really in the way the club's run. It's never been like that. So he's not someone that we would go for. But I wouldn't be personally against it. I think there's plenty of managers, and a change of style wouldn't be the worst thing for us, to be perfectly honest. I think there's players in this team that can do that, but I think they need different motivation. That's all.
Fair enough. Just a quick short answer, Tom, because I know you could talk for hours on this, but just in the interest of time, just give us maybe remind people of your thoughts on this whole rumour and we still have a manager.
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, the question indicates that it seems like he's saying Simeone came in after that, but he didn't. He took the team that got to the Madrid final, that lost to Madrid, and he was there from, I think it was 2011, and started changing it. It's taken that amount of time. But what people need to understand about Simeone is he is the hood ornament of a machine, and there's so much going on behind Simeone that just by bringing Simeone would not solve everything at Arsenal. There's so much of that club that means it works the way it does. In terms of finances, it's completely different to Arsenal. I mean, they have so much more in terms of tax backing and stuff. I'm not massively versed in. I don't want people to quote on me, but I know that they get a lot of money in terms of not in the same way we do, where we have to earn ours and whatnot, and there's not as much risk in spending the money that they do. I think that while Simeone for me, and I think he's a brilliant manager, he is the perfect manager for Atletico, and they have the squad and that to do it. He can't come into Arsenal and change the players, because we've got players at a certain age where they're developed into the positions and style that they are already. He can bring in players, but to bring in players that are of his style and to get a squad that will work around his system would cost millions that I don't think we even have. If he did come in, I mean, I'd be extremely interested to know what happens, but at the end of the day, he's not going to, so I don't know why people are pining for it. If he's going to go in anywhere, John's going to love it. He's going to probably go to Inter, and you as well, Chris. So, I mean, that's where he'll probably go. He loves his affiliations to the clubs that he's played for, and that's where he is. Plus, he doesn't... I won't go on forever. I'll finish with a little quote about the amount of people that moaned about Gabriel and his communication issues and he's not working in a squad. Simeone can't speak English fluently. And you've seen what's happened with Gary Neville going to Spain and the communication issues that's caused. I know he's nowhere near as experienced and people dig at me for that. But still, Simeone come into a league which he has no experience of, into a club that he probably doesn't know too much about, to be honest, in terms of the team and the workings of, because it's completely different to Atletico, and a language that you can't really speak. It would be a massive, massive risk. And for me, it's not one worth taking. So.
Mm. No, I agree. And John and I will be at odds if he comes to Inter, because I certainly will not be that keen, but I'm sure John will be fine with it. So, I mean, if it gets Inter at the table, I suppose we'll take it, but meh, whatever. And also, maybe just a touch, I don't want to put words in people's mouths, but a little bit of a touch of the hot new thing about Simeone. It's a bit of the flavour of the month. And a lot of these people, I'm sure Tom will probably back me in saying, there's a lot of people who all of a sudden are experts in La Liga and the Spanish League and have watched it for the last 10 years. So, and truth is, they've probably watched two Champions League quarterfinals and two semifinals, and now they think they're an expert. But that's just me. Last two questions, or maybe three, if we do really quick answers. John, I'll ask you the first one. I saw it go through the chat earlier on, because I want to mention this chap, because I like him. I've spoken to him before. Phil Paps, friend of the show. He wanted to know about Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain's injury. We touched briefly on it in the show earlier on. John, in your opinion, do you think the Ox has a future? I mean, he's been pretty unlucky. Whatever you think of him and his development, he's had some pretty crap luck, hasn't he?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I backed him at the start of the season to have this to sort of be his blowout performance this year and really take another step on. So, I'll try and back all the players from other squads, because apparently everyone I like is going to be useless. He's had bad luck, but he's also had really bad form. When he has been fit, he hasn't played well. He hasn't been good enough. He's looked just short of confidence. And I don't know, genuinely don't know what it is. I think you give him another year and then see what happens. I know lots of people were saying, oh, well, if you want to get rid of Walcott, then why do you not want to get rid of Oxlade Chamberlain as well? I think it's different. Walcott's been at the club 10 years. He's got to a level where I don't think he's ever going to get past that. Oxlade Chamberlain has been at the club for quite a few years, don't get me wrong, but he's not as old. He's missed a lot of football with a lot of injuries. Maybe that is a worry, but I think you give him that one more season. And if it doesn't work out, he's still got, if you're interested in the money side of it, which I couldn't give a monkeys about, he still has value, retains his value, and you can sell him on, and he's English, so you get that premium for him and everything. But I think you give him that one more year. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. It'll be really sad, but, you know, he's well-liked at the club as well. And I know the manager thinks very highly of him, even if I don't think very highly of the manager. But just sneak that little one in.
Yeah, thank you.
But, and of course, I hope he gets given a chance. Yeah,
and of course, the fact that he is a completely different player to Walcott could potentially offer us a lot more difference.
I still think there's a question mark over what his position really is as well. There's debate about where he should be playing.
agree with that, and I'll plug something later on where I will be discussing it with somebody who should know later on. I've just seen something very amusing. Sorry, I have to bring this to everyone's attention. Just keeping up with the Galatasaray-Besiktas match, which for whoever cares, Besiktas have just gone 1-0 up. And there was a mini pitch invasion. One of the guys ran on, like from the supporters, ran across the pitch. This guy, who I can only assume is an undercover security guy, wrestles him to the floor by his knees and then maces him straight in the face. It's really quite brutal. Turkish football, everybody. Don't mess with the police in Turkey, trust me. Anyway, ask Graham Souness. Moving on. Last two questions, then quick answers, and we'll shoot off. Tom, you can have this one from Andrew Angeli. Do you think Ospina and Chesney both leave in the summer?
Go on, John.
No, it was to you, Tom.
I didn't hear it because I was looking on Twitter. So.
Oh, sorry.
Thanks, John, for digging me out there. Thanks, mate.
Sorry, mate.
Andrew Angeli, Tom. He wants to know if you think Ospina and Chesney will both leave in the summer.
No, I think Chesney will, but I think Ospina will stay.
Okay, and let me just sub-question that. If they both did leave, do we need a new goalkeeper?
No.
See, I reckon that's a bit of a toughie, because you've got Martinez, who's rated very highly, but you've got Cheku probably 2 more years, realistically, at the top level.
I'd bring it to Stegen, personally.
Naturally, yeah.
Well, Sebastian not even Frey's, that. He's a brilliant goalkeeper. He's second fiddle at the moment, so.
Sebastian Frey's probably knocking around somewhere. Yeah. Get him in.
Put him for in goal.
Hey! John, you can have the final one then. IRFAAN3D, that's quite a name. Thoughts on Dybala, and would you not go all out for him and pay $35 million? John, would it be fair to say you're going to have to pay quite a lot more than that to get him out of Juventus now?
Try doubling that, and they might pick the phone up, maybe. And then Dybala will probably laugh in your face and go, who are Arsenal? To be perfectly honest, which is really insulting as I'm an Arsenal fan, but Juventus are a bigger club. He's not going anywhere. I love him. I think he's amazing. He's been one of the best players to watch all season. I wasn't convinced he could do it at Juve, but he totally did prove me and everyone wrong, even top expert journalists who I've been lucky enough to speak to, who actually know what they're talking about, thought he wouldn't quite cut it, especially not in his first season. And he shut everyone up. I'd love to have a player like him, but... not going to happen. Doesn't matter what we offer. If you're going to get anyone from Juventus, then the one that you've actually weirdly got more chance of buying is Paul Pogba, but I don't think we'll pay the asking price. But you've got a much better chance of buying Paul Pogba than you have of Dybala.
Or indeed Mandzukic or Morata, potentially, depending on contractual situation.
Morata, we've got, I don't think, any chance, to be perfectly honest. He either stays at Juve or goes to Madrid, that's it.
And
Madrid have the option to buy him without Juve being able to stop it this summer, and then that's gone, and then that's it. I know what you mean about the more money thing, Carlos, but Juventus are a bigger club, sadly. They are.
And he's playing some of the best football of his career in a happy place. Yeah. He's loved by a manager. And am I right in saying Max Allegri signing a new contract with Juventus?
Yeah, signing a new contract. They'll be bringing in more players this summer, so... Yeah.
And when you consider he's the manager that put the money in and put the faith in to sign him, that's a massive show of respect. And as you rightly say, I think we could have had him last summer, but we missed the boat. Where have we heard that before? Never mind. But yeah, wonderful player. Wonderful, wonderful player. Anyway, I think that'll do it for us today. Thank you very much for joining us, everybody. We appreciate it as usual. Couple of quick plugs just before we shoot on out of here. The first one is to our very own chief blogger, Mr. OG. Other Jeff. He's been a bit quiet recently because he's been a busy boy. He's got a lot going on work-wise and stuff, but trust me, he does an awful lot of work. I know the two gentlemen with me now will vouch for me on that one. Does a lot of work behind the scenes, puts out the amazing blogs that you see pop up on our Bergy blog site. Most recent one from our good friend and journalist Simon Collings, who is also on the pod this week. Do give that a listen as well. But OG does an awful lot of work in his own time as well to get the blogs edited and put up. So a little shout to OG and indeed for Simon for his latest blog. I'm trying to write one at the moment, so look for the spelling mistakes in that. There won't be any because OG will find them, of course. But I'm writing a blog about set pieces and Arsenal at the moment. So hopefully I'll get that across for OG to have a look at for next week. So keep an eye on that. And the only other plug, obviously, the pod. We're back again on Thursday. I think the plan is normal pod this Thursday. I think it's Raj, Jeff, and someone else. I can't remember who. And then the following week is a bit of a free-for-all. I think Gimli just wants to get everybody on and just all have a big clusterfuck. So that should be fun. And final plug from a personal point of view, as you probably be aware, if you like what me and John and Tom talk about, we do have our own podcast, which is very kindly helped out by Danny as well, which is the Football Hipsters podcast at the FH podcast. If you like what we do, give us a listen. Tonight we do a show called The English Breakfast, where myself, occasionally Danny, and Ross, Southampton fan, we go through the weekend's English games, and I will be talking to Ross about Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain tonight. So, if you want to
mention that Drew's on there, you rude bastard.
Oh, I'm so well. Sorry, it goes without saying. Drew is part of our crew, of course. Sorry, Drew. But yes,
basically, don't listen to any of us. Just listen to Ross. He's the only one who talks sense.
Yeah, very true. But if you fancy something different and you like to hear about football outside of Arsenal as well as inside of Arsenal, then give us a try. But that is it. That is all the plugs done, everything as usual. If you do like what you've seen here, and give us a little click down below there, give us a little thumbs up, do give us a little iTunes review or YouTube comment if you like what you've seen. It helps us to spread our wings far and wide. But that's it for today. So thank you, John, and thank you, Tom, as usual, for joining me. One more game to go. We're nearly there. Thank you, guys. And I might even drag you back on next week because it is the last one and all that. So when we've lost to Villa, we can all have a chat about that. Yeah. Oh, God, come on, John. Come on. I bet you're still in bed now, the lazy swine. Anyway, thank you both for joining us. Thank you very much to the chat box. We appreciate it as usual. Keep it Arsenal. Hopefully, we'll be finishing second next week. But at the very worst, it'll be third. We'll join you after the Villa game next week. And until then, keep it Arsenal. Thank you very much, and we'll speak to you very soon. Ta-ta.